Hey, welcome to the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. In today's episode, we're going back to an oldie but goldie book that a lot of men love, Wild at Heart, and we're going to talk about some of the themes that John Eldridge discusses in his book. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. What's up, my man?
What up, big dog?
Now, let's talk about football. How's football going? How's Nicholas doing?
It's good.
Does he like football?
I mean, he loves football.
Does he like contact?
He loves contact.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah. He's had some injuries, but it's really weird to slap your son on the back now when he's 6'3", 205.
He is almost as big as you.
Yeah. See what happened?
Are you still taller than him?
We're the same height. Back to back, we're the same. But no, he's doing great, man. He's adopted his journey, and he's taking it on himself, and he works really, really hard. He does all the little things, man. He drinks a gallon of water a day and works out, and still Nicholas, still very, like, chill and easygoing. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like he has pressure on him because of his last name?
I don't think so.
You don't think he feels that? Everyone's like, hey, he's going to be like his dad played in the NFL, and he's going to be like his dad.
I think there's a lot of kids that probably feel that way. Nicholas is just a different bird, man. I mean, he doesn't care a lot about what people think. That's just not something he's overly worried about. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure there's got to be something, right? Like, you know, and I'm sure there's an annoyance level. I'm annoying, period, to deal with as a dad regardless. So he's got a lot of crap he has to deal with that a lot of parents don't, but I think he sees it's his, and I hope he does. And I told him, and he came to me last year after the Kentucky game. And he was like, Dad, I think I can do this. Like, I think I can play college football, Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
And I was like, that's fantastic. And he's like, well, you train me and, you know, work me out and do my diet. And I was like, buddy, I'm proud of you. I think it's an awesome goal. I was like, absolutely not. Like, I don't want to be your trainer. I don't want to be your nutritionist. Like, I want to make our relationships and our stuff, like stuff that's important. You mm-hmm. know, I want to talk about God. I want to talk about your walk. I want to talk about your girlfriends. I want to talk about school. So I was like, that's a hard pass for your boy. I mean, I don't want that. But so he's doing his
own
thing.
It's interesting you take that perspective or that mindset, because I think that's contrarian to what most dads would do, because I think if their son came to them and said, hey, help me become a professional athlete, or help me become a college athlete, work me out, put me on a diet. I mean, most dads would jump all over that, I would think.
Well, I had some friends that said, you know how to do it. Why wouldn't you do it? Like, you get to spend time with them, and you know
I feel like he has an advantage being your son that other kids don't have, because you know what it takes. And you have the resource. I mean, y'all have a gym out there. Yeah. You have a weight room. Like he has every opportunity.
He has everything he needs. But here's the thing. Like, I know what it takes to get there. Yes. But I also remember I didn't do that when I was in high school. Like, there's a time when you're going to need to grind. And there's a time when you'll have to work on all these little details. But that time isn't at 15, 16. You know, like, that's where the line of is, like, I'm not going to be the one. I don't want to push him. I don't want to be his motivator. I don't want to be his, you know, his trainer and his nutritionist. Like, I want to be his dad. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I know it takes a lot of hard work, and it takes a lot of grind, and you got to do this, this, and this. But, you know, I would rather him learn how to adopt it himself, learn his journey. When he wants to do things, he's going to do things. Because people say they want to. People say they want to do things and they want to accomplish goals and dreams. To do what it actually takes is the dirty work. Like, right? A lot of people say they want to do X or say they want to do Y, but you know how much it takes to put into it. And I know how much it takes. Am I going to sit there and hold him to that and put a thumb on him? Nah, bro. Like, I don't want to. Like, that's not what I want from my son.
I
don't want a relationship down the road that, yeah, like, there's headbutting or this, because you pushed me so hard when I don't think any of that's important. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the truth regardless. Sorry, dads. Here's the truth. He's either got it or he doesn't. And what I give him ain't going to change that. Now, can I give him things and little tips and stuff? Well, sure, I can, when he asks.
I remember when I was growing up, or high school, college, can't remember when it was, there was a dad who was super strict with his son because he was training his son to be a professional quarterback, and he wouldn't let him have any sodas and sugar. And you remember they got married?
Maravich.
Was it Maravich?
Yeah.
And it ended up not going so well for the guy in the long run.
Marinovich. Yeah, that was it.
Like,
Marinovich.
Like the Raiders, maybe? But the anyway, I feel like you're more laid back because you're pretty strict on your diet and what you'll put into your body. But you kind of let Nicholas make his own choices. Like, I mean, he had like 9 pieces of Little John's pizza when we were down in Honduras.
Yeah, but like here's there's another thing too. But when I was 15 and 16 years old, I wasn't like that with my diet. Again, so I'm like that now because I've learned and I've grown
up. You're not trying to push something on him that you have now that you didn't
have. I've made those
then.
Decisions, but that doesn't mean it should be his decisions to make those. And he's going to have to make those in his time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm not going to sit there and be like, you can't eat sweets. Like, that's not, do I think he should? No. Now, listen, we've never had a Coke. Neither one of my kids have ever had a Coke. Like, they never grew up drinking them. And so they've never had one since. Like, and there's the stuff like that's not in our house. So we're not going to have that as an option for a lot of things. They've never had McDonald's. They've never had fast food. Like, Chick-fil-A. They've had Chick-fil-A for sure.
The Christian chicken.
I don't consider that fast food. I consider that great food. so, yeah, like I want them to take, listen, if I can make sports something that they love, they'll want to work hard. But if I make it a grind and I make it really hard and I make it about a goal and college and pros, like I want them to enjoy this right where they're at right now and enjoy and winning where they're at right now and working where they're at right now. I don't think I can't put my brain in a younger kid's body. We're not at the same spot. Mm-hmm. And so I think you got to caution yourselves. And sometimes it's just let them do them and stay out of their journey.
Well, if sports isn't fun for kids, then what's the point? Because it's not. Now, when you get into college and you get into pros,
you got to grind.
It's a job. Yeah, I mean, college is a job. They're paying,
now you're getting paid big bucks in college,
paying tuition and big bucks. But high school, if it's not fun, what's the point in playing? And I've seen so many kids get burned out because they playing the travel ball and all that. Especially like baseball is front of mind. They just get so burned out with it.
I'm always careful when I talk about baseball because it's not something that I love, so it's hard. But man, I see so many people like where your whole summer's devoted to baseball. Mm-hmm. Like if your summer's devoted to baseball when you're 8, 9, 10, 11, like I try to tell my buddies, and I have some buddies that have really listened, and I'm like, listen, I wish I could go back. If I could go back, I would do it this way. Like, don't put so much emphasis on it. Like, put emphasis on family time, not like dragging the family all over the place, different spots. I promise you're going to look back and you're not going to be like, man, I wish I'd have done more baseball. Like, but it's just a hard thing when you're in it. You think you need to do X, Y, and Z, and you need to keep up, and you need to be on so-and-so team. And I hesitate when I talk about baseball just because I know I don't like it, and I think that's what people see. But like football, Brian Jordan texted me the other day. You remember Brian Jordan for the Falcons?
And sure.
He was like, hey, what football do y'all do? Have y'all done? I heard you about your youth league coaching program and stuff like that. And he's like, what football do y'all do, you know, in the offseason? I'm looking at this summer thing. I was like, we don't do sports. We don't do multiple sports in a season. I was like, that's just our family. Our family rule is like, we're going to do one sport at a time because we don't need the clutter. And we're not getting behind, and we're not running around all over the place. We did it 1 year. We did basketball and travel baseball. Worst thing we've ever done is our family. Nicholas, and again, I screwed that up. That's how I learned. But, like, we went to travel basketball, and then we'd go to baseball. Dude, what are we doing? Like, this doesn't change anything for the future, but we're making our life a living crap. And then guess what? Now he's got to do all of this stuff, so less likely to like any of them. Mm-hmm. I'm really, because you got him so busy going all over the place. So I was like, we just don't, for our family, you know, what works for us is just one sport at a time. And, you know, but it's everything about youth league sports is a business. Everything about every tournament you go to is a business. It's about making money. It's not about your kid's future. It's not. So, like, if you can somehow get that in your brain, that's not about your kid's future. It's more about making money. Then you'll be more inclined to skip things and realize like I can do family time. Like, I got other kids and priorities and things we can do and trips we can take and summers we can enjoy, as opposed to a lot of times giving them away because of football. Because again, when you get to high school, well, I had to give mine away. Like our summer, we had 2 weeks this year. Mm-hmm. That sucks. Okay. But we had basketball for Leah and we had football for Nicholas. And that's just what you do now in high school. And do we do too much?
And you don't have a choice.
Do we do too much? Yes, we do too much.
Because the coach is telling you what you're doing.
Yeah, they tell you what you're doing. And you can miss more. And we do miss more. If we want to do something as a family, we're going to do it. Like, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll take the consequences. It's not the end of the world.
Well, let's jump in. I thought today we could talk about Wild at Heart, John Eldridge's book. And
I read this so long ago. I bet you I read this 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's an oldie but goldie. Actually, one of our small groups at church on Wednesday, so we do Tuesday night men's discipleship, and we've got the four books that I wrote, but now they're branching off and doing, because a lot of guys have been through the four books, and they want to do something else.
They're upgrading.
We got apologetics. Find something better. We have different things.
Maybe, something better than the books you wrote?
Maybe not better. probably way better. But Wild at Heart's one of the things that resonates with the guys, and they're going to be doing it. They've got the videos and the book and all that. So I thought we'd talk about that. The three things he says about every man. And we'll just hit each one and talk about each as we go. And the first is God created us with an adventure to live. Like, we love adventure. We don't want to sit behind a desk. We want the outdoors. We want to be outside. We want a challenge. What are your thoughts about that? Like, you like going to the mountains, you like getting outside, you're spontaneous.
The older I've gotten, the more I like to walk. Yeah. Walk just about an hour every day outside. But yeah, of course, you know, just scenery, you know, whether it's walking, whether it's football practice, whether it's whatever it is, like, outside is always good. I mean, the pool. Now, I don't love the sunshine. I don't love the Africa heat, and I get really, really hot, and I don't love that, like, mm-hmm. as much. But who doesn't like to go do things as a family that are fun, that are adventurous, that are outdoors, that are, I think everybody likes that. I'm not a manly man though, so I'm not like an outdoorsy guy, but like, I like to play sports outside.
Yeah. So we used to, when the kids grew up, we'd always go to the beach every summer, but now we've gotten into going out west. We've been hitting the national parks, and the best trip Jennifer and I ever went on was the Holy Land. Like, we went to the Holy Land probably like 15 years ago. We tried to go this past year, and we didn't make it there in bad timing. There was a war going on. But our second best trip ever was Banff, Canada. It's the Canadian Rockies, the most beautiful place.
I've heard good things about it. So if you never been, but I heard it's awesome.
And then we went to Yosemite. We went to Lake Tahoe. We went to,
Grand Canyon,
Sedona. Last year we went to Lake Tahoe this summer. Last summer we went to Yellowstone.
Yep.
And then Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So I love the hiking. Hiking's fun. Like Lake Tahoe, you can hike. We did a kayak tour with clear bottom kayak. We went sailing. You can do mountain bikes, fishing. I mean, skiing. Like, it's fun. It's fun. The adventure to live. And you've turned family into adventure. You've turned your family into adventure. Yep. Like, y'all are always doing something.
It's fun.
Y'all aren't just like same thing every day.
I like to go see 100% with your family. Like, go see those places. Those are mm-hmm. awesome. And hiking, and especially some harder ones now that get older too. Those are more fun.
Yeah.
Burn more calories.
Adventure to live. All right, then the second one's a battle to fight. And of course, sports. I mean, super competitive. You're probably the most competitive person I've ever met in my life.
Nah.
You don't think you're competitive?
I mean, just a smidge.
Like, are you fine? You're fine when I beat you in pickleball, or I beat you in golf, or whatever we're playing, you're fine with me just beating you?
You beat me in pickleball with Woj.
You keep throwing Woj on the bus.
Bro, that's like having a microphone.
And your boy Russ Tanner.
It's like
he jumped in there. And
that's like having a microphone. First of all, me and Woj beat you somehow. Y'all.
No, you never beat us one game.
Yes, we did. No. We beat you the first time. We played again.
We had never played. You're making up rules. We didn't even
I don't
know,
care if you haven't played. We still beat you. Mr. Tennis Boy.
I was in my street clothes. Oh. I mean.
So who's making excuses? I hear the excuses. They're coming from over there.
The second time around, Joel and I won 10 straight games against you and Woj, then you and Russ.
Yeah, not a lot of competition, but that's okay. Like
that's true. I haven't
golf.
Jolin's probably the best person I've played with. I really hadn't played with anybody good yet. Yeah,
golf.
I'm sure there's some good people.
Golf,
out
you
there.
Beat me though.
Yeah, yeah. I asked Doc if he let you beat him, and he said y'all are pretty much even. Y'all kind of.
I mean, even to the, he's never
same,
beaten me, but even
same
yeah,
status.
He's never beaten me. I've beaten him, but if that's what's even is yes, but that's not what I would classify as even. But
he is like 70.
I don't care 70, how old he 70, is. 70, he plays 70, from the other 70. Tees and he hits knocks the piss out of it.
He's playing the senior tees.
Oh, he plays the senior tees and hits it 260.
Yeah.
So like he's past my ball. And
do
I'm
y'all
like,
both walk?
Yeah, he does. No, yeah. Here's the thing. Pastor gets in the cart, but when he'll get out and like let whoever he's with drive the cart and he'll walk with me because you know I'm walking. That's not
what
happening.
He did to me. Somehow I ended up driving his cart for him.
Oh, okay. That worked out well.
When he walked around.
But I think men need a scoreboard.
Yeah.
I think we need a scoreboard in every avenue in our life. I think that's a really, really good thing to compete and to have something to aim at, because when you have something to aim at, you can hit it. If you don't, you're not going to hit it. So I do think that it's really, really good for us to be competitive and be held accountable and have a battle to fight that we can prove that we deserve. Like my workout group to me is that. Like my workout group is doing hard things that really, really suck and making it suck, but fighting through it and then beating people while you're doing it. Like that's the goal. But so yes, I think all of us are built kind of like
that. I think
that.
You brought up a good point there. You don't always have to have an enemy. Like they're always, the battle to fight could be the battle against a goal. Like you're trying to achieve a certain goal. You're trying to, I don't know if you bench press or whatever. You're trying to reach a certain weight or a certain challenge.
That's a battle. That's the battle.
And you can do it with your buddies. But it probably does push y'all. Because we were talking about the row machine, I think it was.
Bertha.
Like y'all are going against each other.
Oh, yeah. Side by side. We call it Bertha because we couldn't think of a worse name.
Yeah.
The row machine is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. You use 85% of your muscles. You can pull it as hard as you want, and it comes right back every time. So we'll do races. We'll take it outside in the heat and do races. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you need those challenges. Here's the thing. Like that's where like the battles, like you need spiritual battles to me. I need family battles. I need exercise battles. Like that's why I've started note taking every week. And now every Sunday I sit down and I make my goals for the week, my non-negotiable goals for the week. And like, they've been very similar when it comes to physical, but like I will do 200 push-up sit-ups every day of my life. Like that's a goal. Like it's always going to happen. Sometimes it's late at night and I'm beside the bed and I'm doing push-ups and sit-ups. Like those are non-negotiables, 200 push-ups, 200 sit-ups.
And you don't shower before you get in the bed after you do that?
No, don't even sweat. And I will read a chapter of the Bible every day when I wake up.
Okay. I was going to ask you what a spiritual battle was.
Every single day I'm going to read one chapter of the Bible. And by the way, you want to be amazed.
What are you reading right now?
I'm the last chapter of Corinthians tomorrow. I'll finish 1 Corinthians tomorrow.
Okay.
But literally, like you want to talk about, like if you want to see some serious, because I think we get big goals and we forget to make small goals that add up to those big goals. Mm-hmm. It's like you're training for a marathon. You're not going to just go out and run 26.2 miles every day. That doesn't make any sense, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to learn how to work your way up. Well, it's really cool when you watch, like now I've been through Acts and I'm almost in 2 Corinthians by just making a daily goal of reading a chapter a day. Mm-hmm. And how much like a little bitty dent in things will add up. Like, and you're, holy cow, I'm through the New Testament. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just those small goals.
It makes me feel good you're taking notes of my sermons.
I always take notes in your sermons.
I know, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
You got a ton of good notes there.
Yeah, I got great notes. I mean, you do a great job occasionally.
So what about the family battles? You're talking about what are family battles?
Oh, I mean, we got, for example, like last week, I wanted to pray for, you know, seeing certain things certain ways. But like also like last week, me and Lindsay, we'll take walks and we'll talk about specific children we have. We have two children, but one of them might be a little bit more difficult. I don't know which one I'm talking about, Leah. But she's a little bit more difficult. So like we did a walk and we talked for an hour. Like what do we do? Like how do we work on her attitude and how do we fix this? And what's important to her? And so like Lindsay told me, like I need to be more gentle. Like with my responses, like I need to be less harsh. Like they just think I'm harsh. I'm always like this, like I am right now. And so she was like, just try to do it you know, gentler. So that was a goal. Like last week was one of my biggest goals was talk to Leah more gently. So that's a family goal. You know, that's something that I'm
like take it down a notch.
Yeah. And again, I'm always intense. So that's really hard for me, but I'm not upset and I'm not mad, but it just seems like I'm intense because that's the way I talk.
You just get excited. I mean, I get excited. You're passionate.
I do. Yeah. So, but those are, again, we need a scoreboard. Alignment affects assignment, right? Like where we're aimed in golf is a big, where the ball's going to go. Mm-hmm. Mine's going to go to the right regardless, but like knowing where I'm going, right. And knowing mm-hmm. how I'm going to hit it. So I think when you make those battles and you write down those scorecards of what I'm going to accomplish, what I'm going to do, and you hold yourself to it, man, you look up down the road and you make a huge dent in things.
Has it been more challenging for you the last couple of years setting career goals because your career's kind of it changed?
100%.
And I think before you always knew you always had the game day and the college football and these last couple. So have you had to rethink some of those goals or rethink kind of where, because the sky's the limit. And one of the things I like about you is you think about things outside the box, and you're telling me a couple of years ago that you wanted to host a game show.
Yeah.
Like who thinks about that? Like, before. You know, has it been harder since you don't have a set like game day every Saturday? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I know you're on some podcasts and you're,
it's way harder, way harder. Yeah. It's way harder because you don't have you don't have a scorecard every week. You don't have you don't have the exam, right? Like I don't mm-hmm. know what's coming. And so when you know the exam's coming on Saturday and you know what you're studying and reading and getting ready for, I think you can perform really well. Now it's like, this could be an option. This could be an option. This could be an option. So now it's become more of a, okay, this is an option. This is what I want to pursue. What are my daily goals to accomplish this? I'm going to talk to three people in this space. Like mm-hmm. I'm going to figure out how to do that. Like, this is one of the things I want to do with one of my podcasts. I got to do a logo. I got to do a site. Speaking is important. Like, I need to reach out to somebody about the X, Y, and Z. And so your scoreboard looks a lot different and it's more of a to-do list now, you know, like it's definitely has become more of like, this is an idea I have. I need to make sure that I'm getting X, Y, and Z done in this space.
That makes total sense to me because for me, I have built an accountability with the whole church.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing a sermon every Sunday. So that's my exam. And everyone's going to know if I put the work in.
Or you didn't.
Or I didn't put the work in. So it's like built in accountability. But if I didn't have that, I don't know. It would be.
It makes it harder.
So I think you have to identify what is the battle, what is the target, what is the goal. So then you know what you're
100%. You know what you're going after. Like, yeah. And you're exactly right. Like, so you have spiritual accountability by all the people with you. Mm-hmm. Like the people that don't have spiritual accountability. Okay, I'm just reading. But what about when you're reading like to teach? Because that's a whole new authority. When you're mm-hmm. reading, when you're an expert in something. And you need to be able to teach something that is totally different than just reading through something. Like you need to know.
And you're held at a higher standard.
Way higher standard. Like, so I think that's what we've got to understand. Whatever walk you're in, we got to find a way to create that. Like, and so it might be with yourself, which you got to be okay with pushing yourself. And listen, will you fail sometimes? Yeah, of course you will. Like one of my goals last week was to text one of my buddies who's struggling and was to text him every single morning, something encouraging. Well, I did 5 out of 7. I mean, I failed technically. I completely forgot 2 days, which I hate that I did. But I did. But that was my goal, and that I lost, right? But like, what am I putting on my scorecard that I can tangibly chase every day and reach? Mm-hmm. And you've got that. You got that cool with the congregation, and you got that with the way you have to live and serve people. And
yeah, one of the things
we want that. We all want that.
I do all this study and preparation. I don't always share it all, but I also think through, because I gave this message, someone might ask me this question. I'm not bringing it up because I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But I'm always prepared that.
Always prepared to give an answer?
Yeah. If someone does ask this question, I have an answer. So what do you think about people who set low goals so that they can be successful? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm around. No. Are you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but let me tell you why I'm laughing. So I do this with my kids. We have our family meeting, our team meeting on Sunday with our family. We'll sit down and we'll go over the schedule for the week. Leah. I'm like, hey, baby, like, you know, me, Nicholas and Leah do this with me now. Like, we just set some goals. Like, what goals do we want to, you know, attack throughout the week? And Leah, one of the first things she wrote down was work out 3 days this week. You know what she has in, for school 3 days this week? Weight training.
So she's already reached her goal.
She's 100% going to do it. Yeah. So I'm that's why I'm laughing.
That's what, like, I'm talking about. 100%. Like some people is like, I want to, they'll give me their goals, whether someone I'm working with or, and I want to say, that is such a small goal. Like, let's get a more challenging goal. Let's step out in faith. Let's try to do something. But other people, they don't want to set the goal too high because they don't want to
fail.
They feel like they might fail. But my thought is set the goal high, and if you reach it, then the sense of accomplishment is so much better, and you really have achieved something than if, you know, well, I'm going to take a shower every day. Well, you know, of course I'm going to take a shower every
day. That's a part of, like, know thyself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to get discouraged because you didn't reach a goal, I get it. Like, I understand. But just like, you know, with my push-ups and sit-ups, I mean, I started with 120 push-ups and sit-ups a day. Okay. I started with that because I wanted to make sure I did it, and I knew it was going to take time, and I wanted to check that box. So I thought 120 was a little bit low, but I knew that was still work, and I was still doing something. It's just not as hard as I'm going to get to. And then next week I did 150 and then 180 and then 200. But
every day?
Every single day.
No days off?
No days off.
You're so, like Herschel Walker, what does he do?
He did like 1,000, bro. So that, okay. I'm not even 20% of Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker is probably the greatest.
I mean, the
Georgia football player of all time.
He is 100%. But I think that so make a goal that's obtainable, that you can obtain, but you have to work for. Otherwise, it's not. You didn't do anything more than what you were gonna do. And listen. I'm one that likes challenges, and some people don't like challenges, but I mean, you can also share your goals with somebody that holds you accountable. Mm-hmm. You can, a lot of times I'll read Bible chapter, I'll read a book with somebody that I love and respect and that I'm doing life with, that I'm discipling, like, hey, let's just go through Romans, you know, like send me your thoughts for week one, you know, for chapter one today. Mm-hmm. And we'll do one chapter a day. And if you need to do one chapter a week, so be it. Like, you know, start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. Right? Like that's a great thing in life. Start where you are. You're right here. I might want to get way down the road. I don't have to start way down the road, but like, let's move the ball a little bit forward. Let's use exactly what I have right now. And let's do exactly what I can, you know, as opposed to that's too hard. That's too much. Or I'm just going to do what I've been doing. Like those are things that you've got to see. Who am I? How do I respond to certain things and be able to set goals that I know like will stretch me a little bit, give it to somebody that will maybe hold me accountable. So now I'll start moving the ball down the field.
So in the book, Wild at Heart, he talked about an adventure to live, a battle to fight, and the third thing was a beauty to rescue. What are your thoughts on the beauty to rescue? And I thought, I shared the illustration that when Joel and Julia, our two older kids, were younger, we would always play this game where I'm the bad guy, Julia's the princess, Jolin's the hero, and then he comes in and rescues the princess. And that's what we guys want. Like, we want to rescue the princess, and the girls, they want to be rescued.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on the beauty to rescue?
Well, I think it's just, you know, when you're married, it's kind of fun because you have an obligation to someone else before you. And you know, when you choose to get married, you choose to enter that covenant, not contract. It's not a contract, right? It's a covenant. And now you get to go live it out. And I just think it's just so much fun to do it with someone. It's so much fun to share the wins. It's so much fun to be held accountable. And it's so much fun to, you know, to be able to do all these things with your kids, for your bride, like, and your bride to be proud of you. I mean, I think the older you get, the older I get, the more I realize it more. Like I don't need affirmation from people. I just don't. Like I've gotten past that point in my life. I might have had that probably in the past where I was trying to like get everybody to like me or do something a certain way. But I want my baby doll to like me. Mm-hmm. And I want my baby doll to love me and respect me and to think a lot of me and to know like that my heart beats for something big, like, and that I love hard and that I treat people fair. And that, I mean, I definitely want her to, I want her to know that. I want her to know that like, I'm a great dad. like that I'm serving my babies and I'm serving her. And so I understand what you're saying. You immediately think about like a castle and rescuing someone that she doesn't need that, but she needs a daily reminder that no matter what she does, that I got her. Like, and she's like, no matter what, she's my girl. Yeah. Like there is no divorce. That's not an option. Like she is my girl and I'm going to fight to the death of her and I'm going to be loyal to her so much. And no matter what, like she's my girl and I got her back and she comes before anybody on this earth.
Yeah. And she knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about your daughter being the beauty to rescue in your life?
Probably not right now because it's such a hard time with my daughter. Like,
but maybe you could start thinking that way. That might change that relationship.
Yeah. I'll be honest, man. I'm missing the mark with my daughter a lot. Like we're so much alike and we're hard headed and like, man, just you try to pick, you know, I'm trying to pick the heart battles, you know, like not the other stuff. I'm trying to like get rid of the attitude stuff as much. And like, what's a heart issue? You know, the heart issues are the one I really want to attack. And that's, but there's so much that is, that isn't. And, you know, you got phones and you got social hour and you got sports and you got school and you got all these things that, there's just a lot of head bumping, but not, I mean, I definitely have to be that example. I think it starts with loving her mama and showing her what it looks like to love a woman. I think I've done a really good job of that, but right now it's just hard not to like pick, you know, and just,
I want to give you this challenge.
Oh, I see. I like challenges.
Is to view Leah as the beauty to rescue and start treating her as that beauty to rescue. Like you are her knight in shining armor. And the dad, see, we are the woman or the man.
Oh, I was about to say what?
Are you getting confused? Are the man in our girl's life until she gets married. So you have to model for her how you want that future husband to treat her. And I'll never forget, so with my daughter, Julia, our middle child, I was always the one that was rescuing her. So if her car broke down, you know, she would call me.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, something happened and she needed help with something, you know, when she was moving into college, you know, I'm the one who hung stuff on the walls and moved her furniture in and moved her in. And like, I was that man in her life.
Yeah.
I knew that Matthew became the man in her life and not me when her car broke down and she didn't call me. She called him and he was the one that came and rescued her. The last time she moved in college, she didn't even call me. He moved her. Like he became the man in her life. And so no longer does she call me when she needs something. She has a man.
Yeah.
And so I think.
And you're okay with that, right?
And it was hard for me. Yeah. It was hard for me because I was always, because I think we like to rescue the beauty. So it was hard for me because I liked being the, I liked the fact that she needed me. I liked the fact that she was calling me. I liked the fact that I was like needed and wanted and I could rescue her or save her.
Now what age? But no, now, so when you were younger, did you discipline a lot or?
Oh yeah, we disciplined.
Well, I'm saying, is it a wee thing or is it more Jennifer or more you? I could see Jennifer being the hammer.
Jennifer was more the hammer. She was more the disciplinarian.
She got a little more fire probably.
But we had a united front. I mean, it's definitely united front. And but
well, I just say that because like I'm not. I don't want to be Leah's friend right now. Like I don't. Like I'm raising an adult, right? Like it's a hard line of being. I want to be her dad, and I want her to respect me and love me and share things with me. And that's one thing I like that we talk about a lot of different things, which is really cool. But like her mom's definitely going to be her safe space. She idolizes her mother. Mm-hmm. Like she walks in the closet, she wants to wear whatever mommy wears. Like she's 14. She's in high school. She wants to wear what mommy wears. Mommy's shoes, mommy's clothes. Like I'm not on that level. I'm not on mommy's level. But like when she has things to share about like a test or like sports or something like that, when she wants somebody to be proud of her, she always hits me. Like, so it is different. Like it's different. It's different roles that we play. And, but like, I just, I want, I don't, I don't want to be friends. I want to really teach her and as much as I can and use as much as I, but it's just like Nicholas. I can't teach her, like we talked about with football, I can't teach her all the things at 14. Like, it's going to take time and she's going to have to learn things on her own. And like, I kind of just learn how to, I'm trying to learn how to compartmentalize and deal with different things. Like when you ask her to take out the trash, it's like, there's a definite, you know, like deep breath and like a pause. And it's just, and it's different for us because Nicholas is like, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Like he's more compliant. She's more defiant.
He wants to help. Like he wants to help in every way. She does. So I just like smile inside now because I know what she's going to do. And I'm like, this is fantastic. Like I know what she's going to do, but she's going to do it anyway. And I'll find three or four more things for her to do just because I'm like, babe, like, and she'll talk about the difference between him and her. And like, y'all, I feel like he never gets yelled at. Well, like he wants to help and he's got kind of a, he's more of a, I want to help. I want to be compliant. I want to be nice. Like, and your attitude is not right. Right now, your attitude isn't like that. You know, you think we're like inconveniencing you. And so I think just it's hard, different ages, different stages, different conversations. But I'm just telling you, I'm learning as we go and just trying to pick the heart battles, like trying to pick, like, is this really, really important? Is this something that's inside that I really want to address? Or is this something that I need to just let go?
Letting the smaller things go. And I think one of the things that Jennifer's dad, my wife, did with both of his daughters is when they were in high school, he would take them to breakfast once a week. And I think that he was modeling for them how another man should treat them. And it was just an opportunity for them just to get that one-on-one time. And he would just basically ask them, hey, what's going on in your world? And just trying to stay connected with them. And so that might be a word of advice out there for the dads of daughters, like trying to get, because naturally going to gravitate towards Nicholas. I mean, he plays football, he lifts weights. I mean, he's
compliant. Leah plays flag football and she does basketball. It's just like two things I absolutely love. So there's, I don't feel like don't give me an excuse. Like that's not an excuse. Mm-hmm. Like I need to do a better job of like, it doesn't matter what your kids are into. Mm-hmm. We got to plug into it. Yeah. Like it doesn't matter if they love video games, so be it, bro. Like I would plug into it and just I think that's with her. It's just it's going to be more difficult and just kind of like my band right here. Like that's what I got to do with her a lot.
Cool. Yeah.
Like pray first. Mm-hmm. That's what I have to do a lot more of that and be a lot more intentional. It's not as easy. It's not going to go as smooth as I want it to go and be as easy as I want it to be, but I've got to be able to handle all those circumstances and situations. And whew, oh boy, you can pray for me too.
I pray for you a lot.
So what were the three things?
I think we'll wrap it up there. A battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue.